Welcome to today's podcast discussion on certifications. This is the second in a series of podcasts where we are talking to folks from multiple certifying bodies, holders of specific certifications, and some of our very own ILTA members who carry those certifications. I'm Jennifer Waters Farley, and I will be the moderator for today's part two of two discussion on the Information Governance Professional, or IGP, certification from ARMA International. We're very pleased today to have with us Julie Colgan, Deborah Yunke, and Jason Stearns. Welcome, everyone. All of today's participants hold the IGP certification and represent different aspects of the industry. I'll let each of our participants give you some additional background on themselves. Julie, can you start us off, please?
Sure. Thanks, Jennifer. So I'm a certified records manager as well as an information governance professional. I'm also past president of ARMA International and an 18-year veteran of the information management profession. I served in a variety of roles over the years, including in-house practitioner for both public and private organizations as a consultant for many years, and then most recently took on the technology side as the head of information governance solutions for Nuix, which is a software company.
Great. Thanks, Julie. And Deborah.
Hello, and thank you. Again, my name is Deborah Yunke, and like Julie, I hold both my CRM and IGP certifications. I'm currently the Director of Information Governance Consulting at Hush Blackwell in Kansas City. I'm also a founding member of the firm's Information Governance Group, whose exclusive focus is development and implementation of information governance programs with privacy and data security compliance focus. And my background is in computer forensics. Jason?
So hello, I'm Jason Stearns. Like Julie and Deborah, I also have both the CRM and the IGP certification. My current role is that I am Director of Information Governance in the Legal and Compliance Group at BlackRock. And my responsibility there is to implement the information governance standards and requirements across all areas of the firm. In addition to my work at BlackRock, I am also the chair of the IGP Board of Directors, which oversees the direction and future of the IGP credential.
Great. Thank you all very much, and thank you for giving our listeners a better understanding of where each of you specialize within the industry, and let's just get started. So I want to ask all of you first, what motivated you to pursue the IGP certification? Julie, would you like to start us?
Sure. Well, I think for me it might be a little bit different. It was really to eat my own dog food. I was lucky enough to be able to participate in the initial development of the certification when we were doing the job task analysis. So it was the very genesis of the certification program. I purposely didn't participate in the later aspects of it so I could take the exam and hold the certification. So for me, it was really important to set an example, right? As my time as a board member at ARMA International, we felt it was extremely important for the future of the profession to offer a certification of this sort. And so it was important for me, I think, to be one of the first ones to step up and take the exam and set an example for those to come after that.
Great. And Deborah?
Well, I think that my reason for moving into the IGP certification is really a movement from reactive to proactive, because in the work I was doing in computer forensics and e-discovery, I was reacting to situations, and I really believed that I could be of much more use to my clients if I were better focused on the more proactive aspects of information management and information governance, and that's really what prompted me to seek the certification.
Okay, that's a great point, too. It's, I think, something that's important for all of us in this particular industry to take a proactive approach, so I'm glad that you mentioned that. And Jason, how about you?
So I would say that in my case, it was two major drivers. One, like Julie, I was involved in the early development process of the IGP and felt, you know, it was time to practice what I had been preaching as part of that group in designing the curriculum, the structure, and everything that has now become the IGP credential. The second reason is for the first time, there was this thing called information governance that really spoke to what I had been doing in my role in my previous organizations, where even though it was under the auspices of traditional records management, I was really doing this more all-encompassing, holistic approach and factoring in business value and looking at not just risk mitigation from a legal and regulatory perspective as to what our record obligations were, but what do we do from information security, privacy, discovery, all these things that are now thought of holistically as IG.
Great. And then, Sue, you mentioned that you were involved in the development of it, at least at some point. Do you see that the certification is evolving from where it initially began, even from the first time that people started taking the exams and attaining the certification? Do you see it evolving from that point?
Yeah, this is Julie. I'll jump in. I'll let Jason take the next step, since he's on the board who oversees the evolution of it. From my perspective as someone who's not currently involved in the oversight of certification, I am seeing it evolve and the uptake improving. It was interesting when we decided to take on the effort and the expense, in fact, to build this. We realized that we were kind of build it and they will come. But I am seeing a lot more discussion in the marketplace around the certification, starting to see it creep into job descriptions here and there. So I'm really pleased. A little bit slow going, but I'm pleased nonetheless. Jason?
Yeah, I think absolutely the credential is evolving, and I think that was the intent from the beginning. We knew we were at the leading edge of what was happening. We were seeing this shift in the profession and a gap as to any type of training or certification or credential that spoke to how the profession was evolving. So we knew when we undertook the effort to develop the program that whatever we had at the end of that process would be very different from what it would turn into in 5 years, 10 years, and so on. And I think we're seeing that, not just in how there's now finally starting to be a notice within the marketplace for the IGP, but also in the practical aspects of the exam itself. The exam is evolving right along with that maturation of the IG.
Great. Thank you both for that. And sort of playing off of that, and I think you both mentioned the acceptance in the industry, and you're seeing it more in job descriptions. So that this is a question for all of you again. Are you seeing it more and more often in whether it's job descriptions, mentions of it in social media, mentions of it in just the general discussion of information governance? Are you seeing the IGP name out there more and more? Jason?
I'm starting to see it pick up. If you look at the other credential the three of us hold, which is the CRM, the CRM was around for years, and I would say probably only within the last 5 or so years did you really start to see that credential get specifically mentioned in job postings or in job descriptions or when you talk to professionals in the staffing and recruiting business where they specifically look for that. So I think we're not quite there yet. I'm starting to see upticks in that, and certainly those of us who have the credential and are familiar with it, a lot of us are speaking openly about it in other forums outside the traditional, you know, ARMA and ILTA and whatever other organizations we belong to, so that other people are starting to hear about it.
Okay, great.
This is Julie. If I could jump in real quick, I think one of the ways we're going to see that pick up first is actually on the flyer side. As a consultant or on the technology side, it's a way to differentiate yourself and improve domain expertise in that part of the segment. So to Jason's point, are we seeing human resources professionals aware of and asking for the certification? Not yet. I think we're seeing it more in professions or roles that are already associated in this industry. So that's I think, where the starting place is going to be. And from there, I expect it to pick up and broaden out into the general marketplace.
Okay, great. So having taken the exam, and I know that, you know, there's different experiences. Some of us were just basically involved in taking the exam and achieving the certification, and Jason and Julie were involved in the development process. But has the certification met your expectations? I know that's a broad question, but do you feel like it has, whether it's brought you certain benefits or made you more self-assured and showing what you know to who you work for, or again, if you're working in a more of a consultant position, if that's giving you something to, again, separate yourself and say, this is part of my body of knowledge, do you have those feelings?
This is Debbie. I'll jump in there. I think the answer for me is yes, and it's a multi-pronged rationale. I think, like Jason, I had been doing many of the elements of information governance for quite a long time, but I think the certification helped crystallize and bring together those various disciplines and really acted as a catalyst, I think, to allow me to have the luxury, frankly, of pulling it all together into something that was coherent and that was visible. Because in addition to the fact that I'm a consultant in a law firm, And so I don't have a law degree, but I think that having the certification brings with it a certain credibility that works well when you're dealing with other professions.
I think that's a great point, Deb. I know that I've worked in law firms for myself throughout my career, and I do think that, you know, you're in a profession or you're in a position where you are working with people with law degrees and such, and it does just sort of demonstrate that you consider yourself a professional, whether it's the CRM or the IGP certification. I think that you're absolutely right about it demonstrating a certain amount and giving you a certain amount of credibility within the records and information governance positions that are out there. Jason or Julie, did you have anything to add to that?
This is Julie. I think I alluded to it earlier. For me, it was important personally in my personal professional life to have the certification because I want to make sure that our customers and our prospects, for that matter, understand that the company I work for is committed to excellence in serving the marketplace. And, you know, we aren't just behind closed doors building software, but that we have real experts who have been in the field and understand the problems and understand the market segment well enough to build purpose-built, fit-for-purpose software. So for me, I think that's a really important distinction. And I know when I was on the buy side, I would look for those types of things when I was evaluating providers as well.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, I think where I've seen the benefit, not so much that, you know, being on the corporate side, particularly at an organization that has only recently decided to make a global approach to their information governance practices and not even necessarily knowing what information governance was when I took on the role. I think it's not so much that they understood what the credential was. It's not like I could say, oh, I hold an IGP and that immediately was meaningful to them. It's as I explained to them what that meant combined with my background and experience and then also in my case, you know, feeling serious enough about the credential to chair the board of directors, that I think helped reinforce the importance of holding the credential and of what goes with that to actually earn the credential in terms of the knowledge and experience you have to even just sit for the exam.
Great. Thanks so much, Jason. So sort of following along from that, when we sit for these exams, when we achieve these certifications, we're obviously hoping for some sort of benefit to our careers, whatever those might be. Can you point to any specific benefits for yourselves that you have attained by achieving the IGP certification?
Well, I think in my case, when I was looking into the position that I now hold at BlackRock, when they were first looking at filling the role, they were very much thinking traditional records manager. And that's how the role was originally posted and described as they were going out. But as I went through the interview process and spoke to the key stakeholders, whether they realized it or not, they were actually looking for someone with information governance experience because I was meeting with the chief information security officer. I was meeting with the chief privacy officer. I was meeting with the CIO and his number one guy in charge of their SharePoint initiatives. And all these things that, when looked at cohesively, describes information governance. So I was able to then say to them, okay, this is what you're actually looking for, and here's why I can say that I have this credential, I have this experience, and I think the knowledge that the credential requires me to have earned it allowed me to be able to convince them that it was an IGP approach that they needed, and the job was then mine, fortunately, as I was selected. So I point to my current role.
Yeah, that's true. And I know for myself, I'm seeing a lot of information governance titles out there, like as you said, that maybe traditionally would say records manager. But it is important to demonstrate that knowledge and where you're going with your own career. And sometimes you can change the game. You can change the viewpoint of what this position actually is and what it should be called. And I think that's definitely a benefit of this certification and the body of knowledge that you either have or acquire through the studying process to sit for the exam. Julie or Deborah, do you have anything that you'd like to share with us about the benefits you've gotten from this certification?
This is Debbie. I think the primary benefit has been to enable me to be a better internal expert and resource for our attorneys because obviously they're attorneys. I mean, they know the law. They know a lot of things, but they don't have the same focus, nor do they have the luxury of spending the time to learn the things that I learn in connection with my work in information governance. So it's really helped me become a more valuable part of our information governance group.
Right.
This is Julie. I think for me, it's similar, right? I mean, it's a way for me internally within my company to show that I have achieved a level of competence in the area of expertise where I work that I'm responsible for, and then externally as well to show to my peers and in a mentor capacity, which is another thing that I'm very excited about and interested in, setting an example for others. So I kind of get a personal benefit from having the designation and people asking me about it as a way to improve their careers.
Great. Thanks so much, Julie. So thinking about the exam, one of the questions that I hear sometimes is, you know, whether it's a comparison to other certifications or just a question about skill set, is there, in your mind, a specific skill set for which the IGP certification is best suited as far as who should sit for the exam or who should pursue the certification?
This is Debbie. I think that, and this may be an odd answer, but I frankly think the best type of person within this space is someone who enjoys constant learning, regardless of what perspective they're coming from, whether they have a records background or more of a security or privacy background. At the end of the day, it is a constant learning activity. And so someone who is seeking to achieve the certification and to maintain it has to be committed to doing that. And frankly, I think enjoying it, because that's just a big part of the job.
I couldn't agree more, Debbie. This is Julie. The other thing that strikes me is if someone's considering this a role at the level of an information governance professional, that role is far more influential than managerial. You'll have a lot of opportunity to work broadly across your organization, but you won't necessarily have managerial control over all the resources. So it's really a role that is more about persuasion and influence and culture than it is about, you know, one, two, three, let's just get these specific things done.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with the statement so far completely. I think the only thing I would add to that is it's someone who is either already in a leadership role doing this type of work or in one of the related disciplines, or someone who's really desiring to make that step into the leadership role. Because to Julie's point, to address all the aspects of information governance, you don't have full authority and, you know, managerial authority or budget or, you know, anything other than just influence and partnership across the various disciplines to get this work done.
So to sort of follow on from that, a lot of the positions that I personally am seeing out there advertised that mention information governance, it's usually an information governance manager. Do you think that that's an accurate job title? Does it make sense? Or is there still sort of a place in the market where people are trying to find out exactly how information governance fits into, whether it's their job descriptions, what will the position be responsible for, what will they be doing, or is it still accurate, saying rather than making something, say, a records manager role, making an information governance manager role?
My impression is that it's kind of put out there as a new term but isn't necessarily accurate, because I think a lot of people still really don't understand the scope of what information governance can be. And so I think it's been convenient for some to rename information management or records management as information governance, maybe to attract people, to attract good people, but to the earlier point about not having managerial responsibilities or budget, I think a lot of people still may find themselves managing records with moderate amount of influence in other areas.
That's great, Debbie. I agree. This is Julie. You know, information governance, to Debbie's point, is still emerging, nascent, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people are interested in jumping on that bandwagon. And so there have been a lot of questions in the marketplace. Is IG a new name for records management? And the answer in my mind, in my life, in my world, is a definitive no. It's not a rebranding. Records management is still a very important but distinct discipline that is an integral part and foundation of information governance. But I think that there's some naming shenanigans going on right now that will get sorted out. And I think that the certification, frankly, may serve to help sort some of that out. That said, I will say that in order to do information governance, you have to have managers. Not everybody can be at the top level building strategy. There have to be people who are executing against it. And so whether or not the title information governance manager is right or wrong, I think will depend on the organization. It's only right if the tasks that they're actually responsible and accountable for are in fact management tasks. And there is a strategic person above that who's driving the strategy.
Thanks, Julie. J. Jason, anything to add on that?
I think what I would add is there. I agree with Julie that some of it is some naming shenanigans. For a lot of organizations, information governance as a discipline, the logical place for it to at least start and grow from is the records function, if the records function at an organization has been something more than just, you know, record center, and these are the records and no one else can touch them, and it's not thought of, records management isn't thought of in a strategic way. But I'm also seeing other organizations where the information governance practice has grown out of one of the related disciplines. I know of at least one law firm where the information governance discipline grew out of the information security function. And I know of another financial services company where information governance has grown out of the privacy function at that firm. So we are starting to see IG coming from areas other than records management, which seems to be, for those of us who have been close to it, where a lot of it has started. That doesn't mean that records management or these other disciplines are not part of the IG practice. It just means the focus has started somewhere else.
Great. Thanks, Jason. I'm going to back up a little bit to slightly more practical concerns for people who might be considering sitting for the exam. How did you prepare for and study for the exam, or did you? Was it something that basically came from the body of knowledge you had, or did you supplement that with some sort of study materials, whether it's online classes and such? And if you can give us some specifics that, you know, not doesn't have to be book titles, but just maybe a few pointers in that direction. Debbie, would you like to start us off?
Sure. I was pretty methodical, but that's how I am. I actually took the DACOM chart and I broke it out into a large Word document, leaving a lot of space after each point. And I filled in what I thought I knew. And there were clearly gaps and things that I didn't know too much. And then I worked pretty methodically to supplement and fill in those blanks, whether it was to get a book or a series of articles in each area and kind of bone up on it. Just as a small example, I used to do work in the imaging area, so I was engaged in document imaging. And at the time, I knew a fair amount about it, but I'd forgotten a lot of the details. So I boned up on certain things, but ultimately it was the DACOM chart, turning that into a notebook, into which I put my own notes, and then I took the highlights from those as kind of my last-minute crib sheet.
Great. And I know the DACOM chart was actually something that was recommended to me when I was sitting for the exam as well, and it was extremely helpful in figuring out the areas that I needed to maybe do a little more study on. And throwing it out there, that chart, along with a lot of other study materials, actually is available on the ARMA International website. Julie or Jason, do you want to add anything to your preparation for the exam?
This is Julie. The only thing, I mean, I just have to echo that the DACOM chart is absolutely an amazing framework for study or review. The job path analysis that I was involved in actually produced the DACOM chart. So I already knew coming out of the meetings the areas where I was really comfortable. And, you know, I'll say I've been in this industry a long time and I've done a lot of things. But there were certainly areas that I felt like, you know, I probably need to know a little bit more about that before I sit for the exam. So going through it as a framework to prioritize your studying, I think, is an amazing piece of advice.
Yeah, I can't say really anything other than use the DACOM as the absolute starting point. What I would add is I think this is one area where the IGP as a credential still has some work to do, is to identify the good resources to help people prepare for the exam. I know as a board, we're still, you know, struggling with what do we recommend as a good text on any particular subject. I know in my case, I had identified some areas where I knew I needed to get some additional knowledge. I just simply went to Amazon and searched for the best-selling book onto that subject and did my best to cram as much as I could in the time I had between my registering for the exam and the date of the exam itself.
And I believe that all of us also hold the CRM. And I found a lot of the materials that I used in preparing for the CRM exam actually were very helpful then, and also sort of reviewing in certain areas for the IGP certification as well. So for anyone out there who is either in the process of or has already completed that, you'll definitely be able to dust off those materials as you're preparing for the IGP examination.
One other point, Debbie, to echo what you just said, the CRM exam prep materials had some really like six or eight really good pages on how to take a test. And I think that that is well worth review because to the extent the questions are multiple choice, it helps you work through. It's been a long time since high school, right, for all of us. So that really helps us think through how best to structure our time in the exam. So I definitely look at the CRM materials.
Yeah, that's a great point, Debbie, because it's true. For any of these exams, I think that test-taking skill is definitely part of it. You know, sometimes we end up as IGPs or CRMs mentoring other people, whether formally or informally, and that's one of the biggest suggestions I've given to some people is, you know, you have to get those test-taking skills. One of the things that they said in preparation for the CRM is, what's the most correct answer? Which sounds strange, but it's true. You know, we all have different experiences depending on our industry, what our personal experiences are, but when they're looking for a specific answer, those are where your test-taking skills come into play, like really reading the question and thinking about what are they actually asking and separating yourself maybe, you know, whether it's in a law firm atmosphere versus a corporate atmosphere, the answers can be very different in reality, but what is the sort of textbook answer, most correct answer in that way? So I echo you on that one, Debbie.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Jennifer. One of the things we're working on with the exam in the next round of exam development are these scenario-based questions where you will be given a series of events and circumstances and a scenario, and the questions that result actually will have more than one correct answer, but only one will be the correct answer based on the circumstance that you've been presented with. So, you know, understanding some of those key aspects of how to differentiate that in an exam is going to be important. So test-taking skills will be even more important in future iterations of the exam.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Jason, for sharing that. That's really helpful. So as IGPs, we know the value that the certification has brought us personally. Would you recommend any other certifications that can enhance your career path or longevity for those in the industry? So we talk a lot about the CRM, and maybe that's one of them, but even beyond that, any other certifications that you might say people should look into as other possibilities?
This is Julie. I think that certainly if you're in-house, considering the industry you're in, I guess in any job, right, that whatever industry you're in, if there are industry-specific designations, those are always good to have because they show a level of competence in the segment that you're in. The other things that I see that have been useful are like the PMP, the project management professional, for any of us who have ever had to do any sort of large scale implementations, whether it be technology implementation or even just simply, you know, a new set of policies and procedures across a large enterprise. Those kinds of skills can be very important, and seen as valuable. So, you know, I think industry specific, and then if an aspect of the role has a particular skill set, looking into certifications that speak to that.
I think that's right. And following up just as an example, if you have a particular need to focus on privacy, for example, you might want to look into a CISP, C-I-S-S-P. If you have a particular need to look on the security aspects of information governance, then a CISO or any other designation in privacy or security will go a long, long way. And there are, to your other point, specialty certifications, for example, in healthcare in those areas.
And Debbie, you mentioned one. So for anyone who's not familiar with these different certifications, what is the CISO? Can you give us the acronym letters for that one?
So CISO actually stands for Chief Information Security Officer, but there are certifications through ISACA, I-S-A-C-A, which is basically focused on information security audit, and they have a series of certifications that you can find through their site.
Excellent. Thank you. Jason?
I would only reinforce the importance of industry-specific designations and certifications. When I first moved over to the corporate side for a traditional-style records management position, it was in the life insurance industry, and that was my first role in that industry. So for me, you know, getting some knowledge about just the basic functions of a life insurance company, their products, how they're structured, what the regulatory environment and landscape is like, you know, anything that can help you with that type of knowledge, particularly when you're new into a role, no matter what the industry is, certainly helps. And then again, as Deborah mentions, if you're finding that you're doing a lot of work in one of the related disciplines, you know, getting the corresponding certification or designation certainly is the smart move.
Great. Thanks, Jason. I think we've covered a lot of territory today, and I really want to thank all of you again for sharing your perspectives and your specific experiences with this particular certification. Do you have any other advice for someone who is considering the IGP certification?
This is Debbie. I think I would just reiterate my earlier point that if you want to go down this path, I think it's terrific. I think it's a much needed discipline, but be prepared that it is ever changing. So much in the same way that lawyers and the practice of law has been very static for many, many years. I mean, precedent is precedent, and you can still rely on 30-year-old statutes. In this field, things are changing monthly. And so be prepared to have that lifelong learning process.
Yeah, this is Julie. I think that's an important point that Debbie makes. And I think there's an aspect of learning that's important, and maybe it just needs to be said, that along with learning, you need to be open to new ideas. I'm finding that information governance has allowed me the opportunity to be more creative and innovative than I've ever been in my whole career. There are standards that I absolutely rely on, but I try and look at them with new eyes and consider them in today's environment and see if there are opportunities to really change the game to better meet the challenges of today and what we think may be coming tomorrow.
Jason, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think both of the ladies summed it up perfectly.
Great. I want to thank Julie Colgan, Debbie Yonke, and Jason C. Stearns for sharing their insight on the IGP certification with us today. This discussion has been very valuable for me, and I'm sure it's been helpful to our audience members who are interested in understanding the IGP certification and how it can benefit them or their teams or their organizations. And we appreciate your time today. To our listeners, please stay tuned for more podcasts in this series, and please review the additional resources posted with today's recording. Thanks very much again for joining us today, and I encourage you to continue the conversation on ILTA's Connected Communities.